by John Cooper. You recognize his name as the lead singer and bassist for Skillet. And so, John, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Woo! It's great to talk to you. And I appreciate you recognizing that I play bass. Most people forget that.
Look, so I've had time, you know, like I know you have a graphic novel that people have to go on tour to get. Like, I'm paying attention, man.
You are. I love it.
Yeah. So the reason that we're having you on is we want to talk with you about, we have talked on the program about what I will just describe as sort of the deconfession or confession of a new understanding of their own place and walk of a couple of high-profile professional Christians lately. We have talked here about Josh Harris. We have talked about Marty Sampson. And you posted something on your Facebook page it's really gone viral. People, you know, people have read it. They've appreciated it. And so I just wanted to bring you on and let you just talk about your passion for the Word of God and your passion for the church, because that's really what feels like to me comes out in what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm glad that's what's coming through, because that's accurate. This was not something that I posted to attack somebody out of like spite or anger or something like that. This started out of honestly just sadness to see people that have influenced me, influenced my family, my kids. You know, before 3 days ago, the only thing I knew about Marty Sampson was my kids growing up on a tour bus, unable to go to church, and me and my wife would turn on Hillsong DVDs, and my kids learned how to worship God, how to pray to God from watching these worship DVDs. My daughter gave her life to Christ after a worship time when she was 4 years old, when we were worshiping as a family. And it was painful. It's really, really painful. It's depressing. And then I'm upset because not only is that happening, not only is it painful, but I'm looking at some of these statements that were, honestly, I'm not trying to attack him. It wasn't about that, but they were just kind of flippant. They were kind of like, I'm kind of losing my faith. Honestly, the only thing I believe now is nothing, and it's the best of it, happiest I've ever been. And then, like, statements about, you know, science has poked holes in religion and this. And I'm just like, dude, you're somebody that we've been looking to for 20 years. And so it's not just that, but that post really got to me. It was the final straw for me when I was like, you know what? I actually thought no one would care what I wrote. I didn't think anybody would even read it. My Facebook only had 8,000 followers at the time. I only started Facebook 3 months ago. So I figured no one would care. They'd be like, why are you writing this? But I was just upset, and I wanted to just plead with anybody that would listen. Can we just get back to the preeminence of the Word of God? We are living in a society that only values emotion, only values emotional arguments, and I'm tired of it, because the Word of God is the only thing that never changes. And I just want to plead with the church to go back. Stop listening to all these just cool people. I'm one of them. I posted that in my thing too. I'm not trying to say, now listen to me because I'm awesome. I'm saying, don't listen to me over a teacher of the Word of God. That's not really what I do. I'm an artist. And I think that we are elevating in culture people that are, they look the right way, they sing the right way, they say the right thing in an emotional song. And I'm not just blaming the people like me. I'm also blaming the church. We're just not valuing the Word of God as we ought. We are valuing entertainment, and we want our ears to be tickled on a Sunday morning with a song that makes me feel really good and like a child again. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I hear you. Why don't we sing about God and who He is for a change?
So, John, and again, I'm talking with John Cooper from Skillet. We're talking about, I'll just describe it this way. We're talking about a shared passion for the veracity of the Word of God and the supremacy of truth, real truth, capital T kind of truth. And we're talking about a passion for the church. And when I use that term, I'm not talking about some kind of institutional expression. I'm talking about the reality of the Bride of Christ. I get a sense from you in hearing you talk and in reading what you've written on this topic. I get a sense that the truth in the person of Jesus Christ is really like you are attracted to Him in a really deeply fundamental way. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, otherwise, it's like the spirit, to me, like the spirit of the age is this. that obviously all truth is relative. That's the spirit of the age. And when it comes to Jesus, he's cool. He's love. He's light. He is goodness. And he might be a way to heaven. And honestly, I just think it's the most brilliant thing the devil could do, because it's so much like Christianity, but it's actually not Christianity, because Jesus is the way to heaven. So otherwise, all we're doing is just everybody has their own version of what Jesus is. And sometimes I got to a quarry, I'm like, I'm here in this church meeting. We're all singing to Jesus. We're singing these songs. I get it. Some of it's true. But I'm not always sure we're singing to the same Jesus, because Jesus is the lion and the lamb. So those kind of things really kind of bother me a little bit. And I feel that we are being robbed of how great God is, because we're trying to make God into our image of what we think is good and what we think is love and so on and so forth. And the truth is that if we don't think God is good, then we need to change. He doesn't need to change. We need to change, because it could just be that the creator of the universe, who is goodness, he might be more right than us, duh. So it really irritates me, and I'm really passionate about it.
So in what you posted on Facebook, I appreciated the reality that we are wrestling with Scripture. We are wrestling with the ways in which our lives are out of conformity, our culture is out of conformity, but we're not trying to wrestle God into conformity with what we want. The wrestling is in getting to the place where we willingly submit to the work of the Holy Spirit, the renewing of our minds through the Word of God, and that we would actually be the ones who are changed.
Absolutely. I really feel that this kind of, you see this a lot when people kind of, you know, fall away from Christianity or what have you. And there seems to be like a lot of finger pointing at the church. It's the church's fault for the decision that this individual is making. And I just find it to be really disingenuous. I understand where it comes from. And I know it's nice to be able to kind of, you know, it's nice to kind of be able to blame people. Perhaps there are things the church has done that are bad, because we're all human and we probably do stupid stuff. But the point is that to act like the church is not wrestling with real issues is just not true. There's, like I said, there's a billion books written on how a God of love could not let everybody into heaven. Like, why do we have to pay a price to not serve Christ? That sort of. There's so many books about it. I've never met a pastor that wouldn't sit down and be like, well, let me explain to you why we believe what we believe, and act like it's not a hard truth. It is a hard truth. So I don't think that that's fair. And I do feel like that what is happening, not to get too much into like philosophy type stuff, but we are basically seeing the spawn, the grandchildren of postmodern thought, which is just saying that there is no absolute truth. What your experience is different than mine, which leads you to a different truth than mine. And what we are seeing is that instead of a lot of leaders challenging that spirit of the age with the truth of the kingdom of God and the words of the Bible, we are seeing the opposite happen. We are seeing the church influenced by postmodern thought and what it means to be relevant. We want to be relevant to the world, so we need to be a little bit more like the world and be like what they say is cool. And maybe we can have it both ways. Maybe we could have Jesus be awesome and good, and he is the way, but there's lots of ways. It's just kind of like the natural thing to have happened once you lose absolute truth.
Yeah, I think there's no question that you've got your finger right there on the pulse of the concern. The spirit of the age is clearly in the church, and being friends with the world, even though it puts us at enmity with God, seems to be rising in importance in people's lives. So, hey, one last quick question before you leave us. I know you've got a tight schedule, and thank you so much again for being here today.
Sure.
This might seem a completely off-the-wall question, but is your mom still living?
No, she is not. She passed away when I was 14.
Oh, I'm so sorry, because I know that she was a pianist in your church growing up. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So, well, because I was smiling like a mom when I was reading what you wrote, and I was thinking to myself, I don't know what John's mom's response was the first time he got a tattoo or the first time he started playing, you know, in this rock band for Jesus. Yeah. But I think right now she's like smiling. And so I'm sorry that you've lost her. But gosh, I sure am glad that you are walking in the way of her Lord and Savior.
Oh, yeah. She's in the cloud right now. She's in the
She's
cloud
like, that's
cheering
my boy.
On.
That's my boy. Yeah. No question about it. There's no question about that.
A funny story, which we don't have time to get into, but my mom probably was a Jesus fanatic, taught me about the Bible ever since I was a kid, loved Jesus in all the best ways, but really believed with all of her heart that the worst thing on the earth was Christian rock music. And did not want me playing Christian rock music, believed it was from the devil. And that changed at the very end before she actually passed away. But yeah, she was not super excited about that. And I wrestled with, you know, this is what exactly what, I had a conversation with someone yesterday who was talking about the things in his life that led him away from the church, because how much it hurt him, because he was, you know, struggling with something that no one would talk about and blah, blah, blah. And I was just saying, you know, I was raised to believe that I was literally serving the devil's kingdom by playing rock and roll music. But I felt that I had proved from the Word of God that music cannot be created by the devil, that music is something that has been here for a long time. We know before we were on this earth was created, there was music, and we know it will be for eternity. That also was proven from the Bible. So all that to say, my mom kind of got it before she died, still was concerned about it, but I know she's cheering it on now.
Yeah, thank you for standing firm in the Word of God. John Cooper, thank you so much for being here today and for what you're doing every day for the kingdom.
Oh, excellent. You as well. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, friends, we'll be right back.